Bibles with your pages and in your written form or electronically, please turn to the third chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John this morning. John chapter 3 is where we'll go. You know, Pastor Adam and I, we try to purpose in our heart and soul to bring God's Word to you, the family of prayer of faith with honesty and sincerity and integrity, and our goal is to provide you with biblically based messages that'll challenge you, that'll inspire you, that'll equip you to live for Jesus Christ in your walk with Christ, in your relationship with Him. And the word that you hear through your ears will help you help your faith grow if the soil in your heart is prepared. Jesus spoke about this as well in the parable of the sower found in Matthew chapter 13. Describes the different types of soil in your life. So many people come to church to worship with the soil in their heart as hard as the Oklahoma ground during the hot July and August months in Oklahoma. And it's hard for that word to penetrate that hard soil, and that hard for that seed to pop up through that hard soil. But you know, Jesus' parable talks about the different ways of the seed and how the different things can affect that seed. But if you have asked Jesus Christ in your life, you have the seed of the Holy Spirit in you, which 1 Peter says is imperishable. It will sustain. It will last. You can either flourish it or you can grieve it. And sometimes when we come to church, we have to be careful and not have a hard ground in our heart, but be open to receive the word. And sometimes that wind blows, and on days when it's hotter than a firecracker outside, you can either have relief while you're in the shade and feel that cool breeze, or that breeze blowing on that hot, dry day can even dry things out even more than they are. So that's why it's important to come prepared. The old preacher Charles Spurgeon told of a story of a preacher who was walking along the countryside, and the preacher stopped by a farmhouse to get a drink of water. And the old farmer who lived there, he went out there to talk to the preacher, and while they were talking, the preacher noticed that up on the farmer's barn there was a weather vane on it that was spinning around in the wind. And on the weather vane, the word said, "God is love." And the preacher, he said to the man, he said, "I don't think that's really a good way to talk about God's love." Preacher continued by saying, he says, "Are you saying that God's love is wishy-washy and just changes depending on whichever way the wind blows?" And the farmer said, no, not at all. He said, "The weather vane is telling me no matter which way the wind blows, God is love." And this morning, my message to you is called Like a Rushing Wind. And I'll be talking about the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the question to be asked of us today as we worship in the Word is, will you come with prepared soil in your heart to receive the seed of the Word? The Bible refers to it in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, as fallow ground, ground that has been prepared to receive the seed, to receive the word of God. So let's open in prayer before we dive in. Father, we stand in awe of your goodness and your mercy today, and we invite you to be present among us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just want to declare this morning that we as a church, prayer of faith, that we love you. And we thank you that you've made a way for love through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And we would ask that you would reveal this great love to us all today as we come to gather and worship in the Word. May our hearts be able to overflow with thanksgiving and our mouths be able to proclaim your everlasting greatness. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, are you ready to worship in the Word? Well, join me in shouting the last verse of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible, in Psalms, that is, which is 150, verse 6, which says, "Let everything that has breath..." Oh, yes, we're ready to do it. We're ready to praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, let's look in our Bibles in the book of John, chapter 3, and I'll begin reading. There's only two verses. Well, three. In John this morning, chapter 3, verse 6, says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said you must be born again." Isn't it great to be born again, by the way? Amen, amen, it is. Then notice in verse 8, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." The wind blows where it wishes. Not a great revelation to many of y'all. Y'all knew that already. But I want to talk about this morning about one of the praise songs we sang in our praise and worship time, "Like a Mighty Wind," like a rushing wind. Because in the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is likened unto the wind. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, He came like a mighty rushing wind, just like the song we sang. And the wind is a type throughout the Old and New Testament of the presence and of the power and of the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. Wind can be so powerful. It can tear down trees, as we saw a couple of months ago up north of us around the Tulsa area. It can be powerful. It can be so powerful that you can see in the news where people try to sometimes stand in a hurricane and they're all bent over and they're trying to walk and they're walking like an old man, it seems, because the wind is blowing so hard. The wind has the power to create, has the power to destroy and to create upheaval and just tear down things. Because about 30 feet above the ground, the wind's basically always moving in some direction. And the windiest part of the year usually lasts for about 7 months. And the windiest day of the year, because the wind does have patterns, they're kind of able to see this. But they said the windiest day of the year is usually December 31st or around there. And the calmest day of the year, if you're ever planning something outside, they say it's around September the 8th, around that area. So they say that wind is always calm during this time, and then it kicks up the other time around December, last of the year. The wind most often comes from the west, and pilots know this, and they try to grab something that's called a tailwind, to where if you're going from the west coast to the east coast, then you'll pick a lot more miles per hour up if you're going that way. And just because of the wind that comes from the west most of the year, they're able to do that. Pilots know this and they rely on that. But then there's other weeks or months of the year that the wind comes from the east, primarily from July to August. Wind comes down from the north from October to around February the 16th. They're very, very clear on these patterns of wind to which they study about. And I bet you didn't come here today thinking that you were going to get a meteorological lesson this morning. Well, you got to admit, the wind in Oklahoma is fascinating. That's why people come from all over the world to see the different types of wind when they collide and come together. Storm chasers make a living off of it. And the wind blows where it wants to, as our biblical text says this morning, And then he says you can hear the sound of it a lot of times, but yet you may not know where it's coming from. You can't tell where it came from. So, he said, is like everyone who is born of the Spirit. Wind is often used as the Spirit of God, as I said earlier, as a type or an example. It's a beautiful picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how He works. Even in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible said that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And when the Spirit moved, then the breath, the word breath there, that is the Spirit of God, they're interchangeable, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, when it moves upon the water, it's like you can be out there and the wind can blow. And even though you can't see which way the wind's coming, you can see it go across the top of the water. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. And I'm interested in the moving of the Holy Spirit in my life, in my family, in my church, and even in the service this morning. Or wherever you're with us, watching on social media. But desiring an anointing to come upon us like a mighty wind. We all have a seed. But what we do with that seed is important. That seed may lie dormant in many believers for years. But until it's anointed and it rises up and fills up within us, God is able to use it like a mighty wind in our lives. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit came as a mighty wind, and sometimes the wind blows very strong and very powerful and is glorious. And I'm so thankful that we don't have a church that has a wind resistance to the moving of the Holy Spirit. May we always be free here at Prayer of Faith. May we always be open to a fresh wind and move of the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit. That's why we sing about the Holy Spirit this morning. And sometimes it comes like a mighty rushing wind, and sometimes it's a sweet breeze. Just a gentle breeze. But however He chooses to move, I desire for Him to move. I don't care how He touches people. He may touch people in the ways that we know not of. But He moved. We don't know. We don't see where the wind's coming. I don't want to be a preacher or a messenger without the moving of the Holy Spirit. So I say, let that wind blow freely in our church. Let the wind blow freely in our personal life. And I implore you to open up your hearts this morning and let the wind blow within you like a mighty rushing wind. And I say, Lord, let the wind blow in our families again. Let the wind blow in our music as we sing praises. Let the wind blow in our messages and in our preaching that we do. Let it blow in our prayers that we offer up to Him and in our praise that we sing to the Almighty God of God's people. Because God controls the wind. The Bible talks about four winds. The amazing confirmation of even scientific facts validate this. I mean, the Bible, it was written 1,000 years ago. And it gives revelations about the wind still. There are four winds. The north wind, the south wind, the east wind, and the west wind. And God's in control of all of them. And if you do a study of the Bible, you'll find that each one of them have characteristics every time that wind from that direction shows up. For example, when the north wind came, that's the direction that the wind basically originates, but it starts in the north, or it starts, if it's a west wind, it starts from the west, and then it goes out and goes in another direction. But the Bible talks about that. First of all, the east wind. It's the wind of judgment in the Scriptures. When Joseph had a dream of the 7 skinny cows, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 41 that it was a prediction about the famine that was to come and would last for 7 years. And the Scripture said that there came a blast from the east wind that sprang up in his dream. And Joseph was able to see how the cows went from fat cows to skinny cows because of how the famine came. But notice what brought the famine in. It was the east wind. The Bible says in Exodus that when the plagues were released onto the Egyptians, the locusts, the plague, the judgment of God upon the nation of Egypt, I think that's so significant about how the east wind brought the locusts. Even in the book of Jonah, story of Jonah, when he was sitting out there in the ground and under that gourd, under those vines, and it was giving him shelter from that hot sun that we can all relate to, that hot, dry sun, that when the Lord decided to show Jonah that his priorities were more than mixed up from what God had called him to do to Nineveh, the scripture said that an east wind was sent. And it dried up that vine and that gourd, just shriveled it up, and where Jonah was shaded from the sun. And Jonah, he loved the comfort of the shade more than he cared about the fate of the Ninevites. But the east wind dried it all up, and it was gone. In the Middle East, when a sandstorm comes, it usually comes from the east. It's judgment. Matter of fact, I heard on the news today that if you're having problems breathing and blowing your nose a lot, it's from the Sahara Desert sand that blows all the way across the land, the sea, to America, even into Oklahoma. In the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 15, in the east, says, in the east, the wind shall come after prosperity, and so forth. It's all throughout the Bible. And the east wind shall come, and the fountains will dry up, and it will spoil the treasures. That's why we have an old fishing fable that says, when the wind is from the east, fishing is the least. The winds that blow that we don't enjoy a lot of times, the destructive winds. And I declare to you today as a church family that the winds will hit every one of our lives. Destructive winds, the stormy winds. And sometimes they seem to tear our life to pieces when they hit. And when they come, even then, God is still master of the wind, because he's in control of the storms in our lives, whether we realize that sometimes or not. Sometimes we think God's left us and we're just swaying in the wind. And while sometimes it seems like those winds are just destroying things in our lives and just tearing things to pieces, never forget that God is still the master of the wind. So the east wind, it has to do with destruction and pain and upheaval and tearing up of lives. It brings about bad judgment, bad correction into our life. And sometimes so that we think that we've been forsaken by God, when in reality, God is the master of the wind. As I said, he's doing something, and he's going to use that wind in our lives for his glory. And then there's the west wind. It blows from the sea, and then when that wind's blowing, it can change a lot of things. The rest of that old fishing fable I told you about is, it says, fishing is the least when it's from the east, but when the wind is from the west, fishing is the best. When the west wind blows, it can suddenly change the season that you're in your life. It can change your perspective that you've been facing or looking at. And then there's the south wind we have. It's described as a warm wind. In the book of Job, chapter 37, verse 17, it reads, "How are your garments warm when the comfort of the south wind comes?" So it's a warm wind. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 12, verse 55, "When you see the south wind blow, you say there will be heat." Because they recognize that the south wind, it brings heat and it brings warmth. And then lastly, there's the north wind. It's a cold wind. And these season sometimes hits our lives, and it can be destructive, and it can tear up our lives. I mean, sometimes you'll wake up one day and say, "What happened? It just feels like my life's shredded." You ever do that after a storm one night? You go out and look outside in your yard or something, it's like, what happened? There's tree limbs everywhere. Maybe in your life spiritually, a family member's causing you stress in your life. Maybe you lost your job or you don't know what you're going to do. So you can look outside and say, what happened? And then there's other times, those wonderful, sweet southern winds, the south wind will blow into our life. And it will flow into our life and warm us back up. Good things begin to happen when that south wind blows. Or maybe a north wind will come out of nowhere. And when life gets really heated up in your situations, and then this north wind will come out of nowhere and cool you down. And life's circumstances give you a little bit of a break, just like we had a couple of weeks ago. It's nice having a cool temperatures in the heat of July. So you have that balmy wind coming from the sea, from the west. It'll push away things in your life that are becoming stale and don't seem to going anywhere. But then you get all of a sudden this breeze that comes in, and it's just wonderful that we enjoyed that cool down time a while back. My point is, God is in control of them all, and He's working things together for your good and my good. God uses all of those winds to purify you, to sanctify you, and yes, to draw you nearer to Him. I love the fact that Psalms chapter 78, verse 26 talks about the east wind. It actually begins to describe two winds. He says that He calls the east wind to blow in from the heavens, and then by His power, He brings in the south wind. And you know what happened? Something miraculous happened. Because if you go on to the next part of that, it talks about how the people were hungry. And that whole chapter, it talks about how the people were hungry in the wilderness, the Israelites. And they wanted some meat. And God got the wind to surround the children of Israel. And He turned the wind from one end to the other. And they wanted some meat. And in that verse, God started with the east wind, which is the bad wind, the destructive wind. But then He follows up, and then He reaches around and He grabs the south wind, which is that sweet, warm, comforting wind. And He pulls those two together to get this circular motion, and they begin to surround the quail. And as the winds surround the quail, they bring down so many quail that they get in type of this type of wind tunnel. I don't know if it was a tornado or not. It might have been up there in the sky, but I don't know what it was. But there was a type of wind tunnel, and I just want you to see it now, that God's working all the destructive bad stuff these Israelites are going through, and then He brings the good stuff, and He's twirling it around, and He has the quail for His hungry people, which gives them provision for His hungry people. And He says, you know, it looks like it's bad, but when God gets through with it, He's going to mix the bad with the good. And instead of tearing you up, He's going to take you up. And God will send the food down, and He's going to send the provision down to us. And the Bible said that God rounded up so many quail in those winds and fed them that they were literally 2 cubits deep, which is knee deep in quail. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the wind of God, sometimes we don't understand why the winds are blowing in our life. We don't understand those harsh winds. We don't understand why those destructive winds come in our lives. But if you're not careful, you're going to start saying, God, stop the wind from blowing. I don't like that wind. But it takes both winds. It takes the east wind, takes a south wind for things to come about sometimes. And when you learn that when things are going good, God is still good. And when things are going bad, God is still good. And He works for the bad, He works the bad for the good. And when that happens, you can relax in your faith, just raise your hands and praise the Lord. Sometimes that's all we have. That's what you can do. Right in the middle, no matter what's going on around you, God is still the master of the winds. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. I mean, when those two winds work in conjunction, one wind cannot bring to you what the two winds working together can to accomplish God's will in your life or what He wants to happen there. So even if you're going through some harsh winds with some destructive things going on, if you'll hold on to God, if you'll learn to praise Him in the midst of the storm, then you'll find out that He's going to soon take that south wind, bring it around with that east wind. And that which would look like it's going to destroy you will actually raise you up. And you'll come up stronger. And you'll be blessed. And you'll rise up above your circumstances and have victory over your enemy. The rushing wind of the Spirit. You see, the enemy may have control of a lot of things on this planet Earth. But God has to give the say-so. He has to give the permission because He is still in control of it all. He's working in every situation of our life. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's the wind that fills our sails in our life. The pessimist, he complains about the wind. The optimist, he expects the wind to change. But the realist, what he does is he adjusts his sails for the oncoming wind. The Holy Spirit will use winds of adversity. He'll use winds that sometimes we have to struggle in. But He combines them together and makes them into winds of blessing. It's all working together for good. And I know we don't see that a lot of times, but we need to learn to say, Amen, Father, and Amen. We need a mighty rushing wind in our souls, a fresh anointing to get our power becoming like a windmill going on, because the wind is going to blow, and which causes the river to flow. They're all working together. How many of y'all believe that they're all working together? Anybody here believe that? I mean, it's all working together. Maybe you're going through a storm in your life. Maybe you're tired and weary, but I just want to encourage you this morning by saying God is using all of it, not to destroy you, but to bless you and to get you ready and to get you full of His Holy Spirit and to get you full of His faith. And He makes all of the winds do this to accomplish His work. The Bible said in Psalms 148, verses 7 and 8, He says, Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all of the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. There it is. Stormy winds fulfilling the prophecies and the promises of the word of God. You can't have the fulfillment of the Word of God in your family or even in your life without stormy winds. And I know it would be nice, but old tree limbs will fall. I have some old dead tree limbs in some of my trees in the backyard from the ice storms of 2007, 2011. Limbs that are way up there, too far for me to get and pull down, and I sure ain't getting up there with a ladder. But when a stormy wind comes, it can bring those old dead tree limbs down to the ground, or at least bring them down within my reach to pull them the rest of the way down. And it's the same for us. We have old dead things in our lives that are still hanging around. Maybe they're out of our reach until a stormy wind comes and brings them down. It's not just a sea breeze and pleasant breezes, but it's the stormy winds that fulfill and can bring things to pass in our lives. Usually right after a stormy wind that a fulfillment of a promise from God will come through. That's why God gives us rainbows as that illustration. Just when you were thinking about giving up in your life, just when you thought that you might as well just throw in the towel, that's when we throw up our hands up in the middle of the storm and praise Him. Say, God, I don't know where you are right now, but I do know that you are the one who speaks peace. He knows how, according to Mark chapter 7, to step out of the boat, to raise his voice, and to speak to the wind, wind, be still. Amen. And when he does, he's going to reward you on the other side of that storm. He's going to fulfill his word through the stormy winds. Because God is sovereign. He rules from the heavens. And he knows what he's doing. I know sometimes we kind of question that, but he knows what he's doing. Did you know the Bible said in Exodus chapter 10, verse 13, that the east wind brought in the locusts? But this is interesting, because he sent a west wind to drive them away. It says in verse 19, a couple of verses down, God sent a different wind to drive them out. He sent a west wind. So if God allows things to hit you or to devour, because that's what locusts do, they devour fruit, they devour the harvest, then God says, you know, I'm going to try and see if they're with me for just the stuff that I give them, or do they really love me with their heart, mind, and soul? And a lot of times, those locusts, when they come in, will devour all the stuff. And God says, do you still love me? And if you hold on, God may send one wind to bring the locust, but then he can send a west wind to blow it all out of there and to take them away. And I'm so thankful that God has a wind that can blow our problems away today and give us a fresh outlook that we couldn't even see that was ahead of us before, because we're so busy fighting the locusts. And you can walk out of here today knowing that our God controls the wind in his fist, and God can reverse the wind. Can I get an amen on that one? God can reverse it this morning. I don't care what the doctor said to you. God can reverse it. I know we appreciate doctors tremendously, especially since my daughter is one. And we're so very thankful for their healing practices. But I'm going to tell you that even they don't rule the heavens. They don't rule the earth, because the Holy Spirit is much more powerful. The wind of the Spirit can blow cancer out of your body. The wind of the Spirit can blow demons out of your home, demons out of your life, unclean spirits that have tried to settle upon you and take it away. The Holy Spirit can blow it away, and he can reverse the curse. Let the wind blow like a mighty wind. Let the wind blow. Let it move in your life this morning. Do more than just hear a sermon. Believe and ask for the wind, and just get hungry in your life to have power of God just to work mightily within you. You know, God is revealed in the wind, because the Bible's clear that when God shows up, he uses wind as his vehicle. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 11, that he rides upon the chariot and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind. The wind is blowing, and you may not see it. You may not even feel God. But he's there, like when you're on top of a mountain during a sunshiny day. Then there's those days when the winds are blowing like crazy. A storm is raging. It's Category 5 time. But according to that text, that's what he rides on. He's mighty, he's strong, and he has the wings of the wind. Psalm 104, verse 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You are very great, clothed with honor and majesty. You are stretched out the heavens like a curtain. You make a cloud of chariots, and you walk upon the wings of the wind. So don't resent the wind in our lives. That's how God comes to us. It's how he gets things done. In the little minor prophet the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, the Lord has his way. Listen to this. In the whirlwind, when it feels like your life's going crazy, when it feels like you're just losing it and it's being torn to pieces, God's going to let his voice be released. If he ever speaks to his people, it's when they are in a whirlwind of activity. You feel like you're caught up in a crazy whirlwind, going left, right, up and down. Things are going on and you feel like things are out of control in your life. That's when his voice will begin to boom. That's when you cling to the word in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. That says, I am with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm there with you. Don't resist the wind. Don't resist the east wind, the south wind, the west wind, the north wind. Just tell God, let it blow like a rushing wind. Because if he releases one of them, then he'll release other ones. And ultimately, God will get the glory out of what's going on in our lives. God has always been in the wind. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, in the beginning of creation, he formed man and he breathed into man his nostrils, the breath of life. He's always been in the wind. Let him breathe on you. This morning we need the wind of God. We need the breath of God to fill up our lungs. I need the wind of God upon my message. The worship team needs the wind of God in their singing. We need the wind of God to touch our young people. We need the wind of God to touch our small children. This morning, we all need the wind of God. By the way, I'm kind of missing the children because they make noise. And that's more sometimes than a lot of you do. I love the noise of the children because it shows that we're having activity. How dare us think that we can just come to church and go through a service and think that that's going to really make a difference in our life? Yeah, sure, you'll get the love and the fellowship, which is all biblical. But is that all you're satisfied with? It's nothing without the breath, without the wind of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, that the letter kills, or the wind, or the Spirit brings life. Ezekiel proved that. Ezekiel proved that in Ezekiel chapter 37 when he got in the valley of those dry bones that were all mixed up. You had Tom's bones here, Bob's bones there. Have you ever read that? It didn't say that they were all neatly placed skeletons. It says they were all mixed up, which means they were all mixed in together. You had an ankle bone over here. You had a rib cage over here. You had a skull over there, a backbone over here. They were just all mixed up. That one's Bill's, that one's Joe's, that one's Fred's, that one's Tim's. They were all mixed up. And have you ever felt that way going through a storm? That everything, your bone of your bone, your flesh of your flesh, your family, it's just torn to pieces. And God asked the prophet Ezekiel this powerful question. He said, you know, I know it looks bad. It almost sounds like an order at a drive-thru restaurant. It's scattered and battered and, wow, look at what they gave me. But then he asked Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? Do you think I can do anything with this scattered mess? Do you think I can work anything in this dry situation that everybody says can't live because they're skeleton bones? And Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. And then the Lord said to Ezekiel, prophesy. Open your mouth and speak life. And then God told Ezekiel in chapter 37, verse 9, speak to what? Speak to the four winds. There it is. Speak to the four winds. Here we go. Speak to the wind. Prophesy to it. All of the winds. This is the revelation that it takes all of the winds to bring about revival. You cannot have revival if everything is perfect in your life. You can't really get in the greatest moods of God until you've gone through a storm. Some wind in your life. until you've gone through some heat, until you've gone through some cold, and even going through a balmy breeze. You have to go through something. And when you have stood strong, like many of you have, in the middle of it all, in spite of the circumstances that you've been through, and you've done all of that, and you've stood strong, and then you can stand right there and say, Lord, I'm asking for the wind to blow over these scattered bones in my life. And all of a sudden, the foot bone runs over it and connects to the leg bone. The leg bone connects to the ankle. You know how the song goes. What I'm saying is, I don't care how messed up your life is, and I don't care how messed up your family is, that when the winds begin to blow, it blows out unforgiveness. It blows out atheism. It blows out demonic influences, demonic lives. It blows out rebellion. It blows out addictions. It blows out family squabbles. And it heals everywhere, like a mighty wind blowing. You know, if you ever go out west in Oklahoma, you may have noticed this. There's a lot of windmills, especially when you get out in those big open areas like Weatherford, Hinton. And even when you go down south toward Davis, heading towards Texas, but there's a lot of windmills. And you can see them while you're driving on the highway. 356 wind-powered windmills on a wind farm, which makes Oklahoma one of the biggest wind farms in the nation. And they've learned that where the current wind is blowing, how it blows, and I mean, you can see hundreds of them along the landscape. It's an incredible sight. It's kind of eerie, but it's just, I mean, all of these windmills lined up. And the strangest thing is you see hundreds of these windmills spinning, but there's always one just sitting there, not spinning. And likewise, the Spirit's moving here, the Spirit's moving there, the Spirit's moving everywhere, all around us, but then you just have one sitting there. And I don't know about you, but I'm saying, Lord, let the wind blow throughout this house this morning, house of worship. I'm so tired of dead religion. I just want the wind to blow. Holy Spirit, however you choose to do it, if it comes from the northeast corner, the southwest corner, wherever the wind comes, just come and blow. Because at some point you have to say, here I am, Lord. Blow the spirit of the wind my way. I submit all of my life to you. I've believed in you for years. And I've had my sins forgiven. But I want to submit all of my life to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill my life and anoint me. Anoint me for ministry to further your kingdom. Baptize me with your Spirit. Fill me up with your power. I surrender myself to you. I want to be a windmill, and you can create your own episode as a windmill, your own episode of Gone with the Wind, by becoming a wind chaser. If anybody gets a little breeze, then we need to get with it. We need to raise our sails up, open those sails, and let our sails be filled. The wind's blowing. It's just that sometimes some are not receiving it. But what's interesting about wind is this. You can cause the wind to blow. Where does it come from? It takes two things. Number one, you have to have a high pressure area way up in the heavens. And number two, you have to have a low pressure down here. And what happens is this. Out of that low pressure will come and rise a bunch of heat up. When the heat goes up, then that's what gets the winds to moving through that cycle. The low pressure and the high pressure. In other words, I want you to understand this, that whenever you are in the low pressure areas of your life, then it's time to heat it up. It's time to heat up your prayers. It's time to heat up your praise. It's time to turn up the heat. That's what Elijah did. Elijah, the Bible said that he prayed, and a servant came, and he said, I don't see anything. because he told his servant to go out and look for some rain clouds. And then he turned up the heat and he prayed again. And he prayed again. This is why it's so important to keep praying. Not just one prayer, one and done, but to keep praying. Turned up the heat. And he sent his servant out seven times. And on the seventh time, the servant said, "You know, I see a great wind is heading this way. There's a cloud about the size of a man's fist. And in that wind is rain. And something's headed our way. A great wind, great cloud, a great rain has come to break the famine of the land. So much so that Elijah began running down the hill trying to outrun that cloud because he knew there was going to be a gully washer coming. And I want to be so sensitive to that spirit that if it starts moving, we just go with the wind, even if the cloud is as small as the size of a man's hand. And so you may be in a storm and you may be going to something you never dreamed that you would happen in your life. But my desire is for us to say this morning, God, I'm open. God, I'm ready. God, I'm willing. My desire is to do more than just to show up. My desire is to see more of us show up when we have a quarterly night of prayer. Other than the four or five who regularly come to pray, I thank God for that. To pray for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. To pray for the Holy Spirit to move in our families. To pray for the Holy Spirit to move within our church. To move within our community. To move within our nation. And for their leaders. We need it desperately. We need it desperately. And I don't think we want it desperately sometimes. We desire it, but we don't want it. We keep saying someday. Y'all remember hearing or reading about the Ashbury revival some months back in February of this year. If you haven't heard of it, it's the revival that broke out in Wilmore, Kentucky at the Ashbury University. And what happened is when it broke out, it went all over social media. It was more popular than the trash that you normally see in social media every day. It was the most glorious thing. Why? Because it just suddenly showed up. They just sung a few praise and worship songs. And then you just never know when the wind of the Spirit is going to hit. The pastor who was there said he just preached a simple little message, nothing out of the ordinary, when all of a sudden he says it was like all heaven hit that room. And it went on for day after day, week after week. And on the internet you could see video clips of people who were coming from miles around to be prayed over for deliverance and for reconciling their lives for God. And for forgiveness. And even though that place became so crowded that you weren't really able to get on the property, so many people still kept coming from all around the world to that little place, to that university. You may feel like you need a second wind today, like a mighty wind to fill your sails. To get your windmill turning. And that's why I say today, Father, give us a second wind. Let the wind blow, filling our lives and filling our church and filling our families. This morning, as we prepare to close, I would ask you this morning to stand as we prepare to sing. Maybe you need a second wind today. Maybe you've never been baptized to follow through with your salvation as an act of testimony and showing the others your belief in Christ. The Bible says, with the heart we believe, that's salvation. With the mouth we confess, to have life. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you need a second wind today by coming and recommitting your life to Christ. Your spirit seems to just have fell asleep and you're resting, but you want it to come alive so that you can use and feel the power of God in your life once again. I don't know what the Spirit wants to do. All I say is let the wind blow like a rushing wind. Let it flow within our lives. Maybe you need healing today. Maybe you need to have the anointing released in you today. Maybe you want to lift somebody, come to lift somebody up who's on your mind and on your heart. Whatever it is on your heart, the Spirit knows. He's blowing a wind this morning.